everyone, and welcome to the Priceless podcast. This podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. My name is Michael Sechen, and I'm the podcast host. My guest today comes from Myanmar, but she lives in Sweden.
My name is Yaya, and then I am originally from Myanmar, and then I am identified as a trans woman, and then presently I have been resettled to Sweden exactly 20 months ago. Very recently, I'm known as a transgender activist. I would say I'm a traditional Christian because my parents were Christian also. The surrounding is a lot of Christian people. Well, until one day I decided to become a different person. And these days I really do not go to church, but that does not mean that my faith in Christ and in God goes away. But the thing is that I just do not want to associate with many people at the church who have different opinions. And I just don't want to, you know, have a negative opinion on them. I just don't want to make a compelling opinion about how people see me when I go to church, which can create, you know, my mind to be far away from what I should be as a Christian. I am not transitioning before I was 29. So my young self, when I grow up, I was known as the gender I was born with. I could not get a chance to make a lot of friends at Sunday school or in other activities like in choir or things like that. But the thing is that I still could be part of the community, and then I am still being part of the, you know, congregation that I have been in. I thought that I was a girl when I was born, you know, but the thing is that later on, when things change, because if you are too effeminate, if you are too sissy in our culture, we will be left out. This is my concern. It is the reason why I have to, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to be criticized. I'm not ready to be left out in the community. And it's the reason why I decided not to reveal who I have been and then to live a life that would have been expected in the community. I think it would be like when I was 7 or 8, you know, when I was at school, maybe at 3rd or 4th grade, and then I would be sissy too, I would be effeminate. And then there are others who are more effeminate than me, and then I have seen how they've been treated. I mean, by the teachers and by the classmates as well. So what came into my mind is that if I came out at that time, I would become those victims as well. I would not have friends, I would be left out, and then I would just be like a person being pushed away. So even though my mind is different things, I try to behave differently when I was young. I felt that it is not the church, it is the people in the church. We are all equal, you know, before God. But the thing is, we're not equal in front of men. Behaving differently from what you were born with will be a huge crime, because it is not what they are expecting. So this is something, well, the message that I have received from the church, I guess. And the other thing is that as long as you are useful, the people in the church will see you differently, because I am now accepting myself in a different gender. When I was in my early 20s, I thought that if I become a woman, I will be seen as a clown. I was thinking that, well, I, at least if I like men, I could be a gay, right? I tried to be manly as much as I could. I moved to Thailand and then again to work. And then I was there for about 4 or 5 years. I learned a lot. And then I become like a cross-dresser because I like to be wearing like a woman. I feel more confident in wearing like a woman. I became brave, more braver, and I would say, but then it is quite difficult to entirely change. In one occasion where I was supposed to be working as an interpreter for Burmese and English, I was asked to wear completely a typical Burmese attire, men attire. And in that meeting, I was supposed to understand both language, but I could not understand any of them within this attire. It turned out so bad, and I realized that I was not myself. So that all my ability were lost under this stress, and then I could not perform what I should be doing. And what happened in this transition, I will have to thank someone from my office. And at that time, she was working as a communication personnel, and then she kind of like empowered me to be who I am, give me her clothing, tell me to be who I am. From that time on, I decided to become a woman. When I was young, my father has been very supportive. I wanted to wear like a woman. I wanted to have a high heel shoes, and he would all kind of like bought me. And my mother would not have any problem with that as well. It's about the acceptance of the society rather than your parents. This is in my context. I did not know about other parents, but my parents are this type of parents. So I do not have much problem growing up. Since I was young, I understand that they exactly knew what I would have become one day. I'm very happy that I could live my life the way I wanted. And I feel supported of my mother in a different way. Even though I did not come out to her, you know, telling her who I am, but then from afar, she knew what had changed me and how things have been with me. We did not really talk about coming out, but she saw me change. Myanmar has a different context, I guess. Even though it has been a British colony in the past. So we have the draconian laws that prohibits same-sex conducts and, you know, other things. And what makes things worse is that we have the military rules for most of the time since the 1948 independence. Not only the colonial era laws, but also the additional provisions in the penal code make things very difficult for the LGBT people. Culturally, Myanmar is quite a tolerant society. If you are a transgender woman and you are seen with a man together, then the Myanmar society will recognize you as a man and woman. I would say heteronormative mindset is a kind of something that is well invested among the society. They could accept you to an extent. But then if there are two gay men or two lesbian women, it would be very difficult for the society to accept this union. Same-sex conduct is punishable by law. up to a life sentence in our country. After the military coup in 1962, the ruling military junta have added some provisions in the penal code. It appears that you do not own your body. Right now, we are talking about my body, my rights. So the law said, if you have done something to your reproductive organs, you could be taken and be imprisoned up to 3 years. So relatively, the state owns your reproductive organs and you do not own your body. And there's a reason why it is very difficult to perform gender reassignment treatments in our country too. So in 2021, there was a military coup. And following the military coup, most of the activists were arrested. Those who have been, you know, kind of like voiced a lot of human rights issues, and then most people who were involved with the activities in elections or other civil society activities would have been targeted. Some of my friends got arrested, and then some of them have, you know, have been targeted as well. And then I was afraid that things would turn to me, and then I have decided to leave. When I arrived here, I was recognized in the gender which I would like to be. And second, I could change the name I would like to have. And then this is not a possibility in my country. There is a legal protection for non-discrimination on different grounds. You have the right to legally marry the person you want, no matter who you are. Everything that I come across are very systematic because the systems are well set up and established. But then I am far away from my friends. It is quite difficult to make friends here. And sometimes loneliness is quite a challenge. But then these are not the end of the world. Everywhere there are bad, good and bad things. But then what really we need to think is that how are you going to deal with it? There are a lot of things that goes beyond my control. What I could do is to live the present moment happily, and then to do my best. What I long most is to see people with only one human rights standard. I don't want to see people or leaders with two or three human rights standards. No matter what background, what ethnicity, what gender identity or sexual orientation they have. This is what I hope in the future things would happen in my country.
Thank you, dear viewers and listeners, for being with us. This podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. You can also support this podcast. See you next time. Bye, everyone, and bye, Yaya.
Bye.